B-Pod Studios.
Every sport has its network. If you're willing to pay for it, Boston has the sports hub that brings you the Pats, the Bruins, the Celts, and the Reds from preseason to the final second for free. Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the sports hub.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom has openly said you were his hero growing up. And obviously, with Tom changing teams, there's been a lot of comparisons to when you changed teams at the end of your career. So what was your reaction when Tom left New England? And obviously, you know, what do you expect from a guy like Tom Brady now finishing his career with a different team?
Honestly, I was shocked that they let him get out of New England. I thought they would have done everything that they could to try to keep him there. But I think probably in the end, in just a little bit of time, I spoke to Tom while we were back at the Super Bowl, was that, you know, I don't think he was happy with the way things were progressing there and his ability to have input. And I think that was a big decision for him to make to leave there. Obviously, he's leaving places at a ton of success at, and was going to another team. He chose a pretty good one, I think. When you look at it, they got a pretty good defense. They got a lot of offensive weapons, and then you throw him and Gronk into the mix. Would be an interesting season if it goes on.
All right, it's hour number two, Agenda Free Friday. Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Christian Arcan and Matt McCarthy back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm in the remote A-hole location, and I've moved inside. Well, I'm not going to be rude like that. No internet connection. They can't get me up on the simulcast. I'm not just going to sit outside and be an a-hole. I'm back in the basement. If it kills me, I'm going to figure out how to sit outside and get an internet connection out there. I just am so freaking anemic on the technology. It's so frustrating. Oh, my God. But I'm not going to go there right now. It's Friday. I was in the grocery store the other day. And, I'll glance at the Maggies every now and then. You know what I mean? How can you not, right?
Right there.
They're right there, and there's dirt. Good gossip. And this is what I found yesterday. How about that?
Ooh.
Oh, I was so excited. Why Giselle gave Tom a second chance. Life and Style magazine. Is this the same gossip mag that has all these Brady Giselle stories? Is that the same one that keeps reporting on this?
You're asking me?
I think I mean we read it every time. I just can't remember what magazine it is.
That looks like the same magazine, but they all look like that, so I don't know.
You know, it's sort of a this is like a low-end knockoff of People and all, you know, the real good dirt. But this is just sort of a mini dirt mag. $600 million divorce on hold. His shocking confession in therapy, fellas. Quote, she threatened to smash his Super Bowl rings.
A lot of them right there.
She threatened to smash the rings.
That's good stuff.
When I would read this stuff when he was a Patriot, people get all bent out of shape. Is it okay now that he's a Buccaneer?
It's more than fine, yes.
How Tom and Giselle saved their marriage, inside spread. Get this. Moving to Tampa did not save their marriage. In fact, that almost sent her off the deep end again.
Oh, right, because he's moving away from the family, right? They're in Connecticut? Is that my understanding?
Oh, is that right?
I thought that was my understanding. Wasn't Jeff Darlington reporting proximity to New York City because they're living in Greenwich or something like that?
I've kind of lost track of it.
That's what I remember.
I just can't believe that bringing a international supermodel down to Tampa Bay didn't solve all their problems. I feel why wouldn't it?
So, according to a source, the couple were on the brink of divorce last spring. Then Tom made some changes and things got better. They went to therapy, he explained. And Tom started pulling his weight at home. But that's not the whole story. Though, quote, Tom and Giselle were happy again for a while, says the source. Things took a dark turn after he left the New England Patriots, where he'd spent his entire career. Quote, Giselle begged Tom to retire from football so that they could fully work through their issues. He kept saying he would, but totally went back on his word, said the source, explaining that Giselle, 40 years old, quote, hit the roof. Giselle, quote, hit the roof when Tom announced he was signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and moving their family to Florida earlier this year. Quote, their relationship was in crisis again. While those in their inner circle doubted they'd make it this time, after more fights, promises, and counseling, Giselle surprised everyone by agreeing to give him a second chance again, reveals a source. They were able to save their marriage. Do you think Giselle's one of the reasons Tom is not a New England Patriot?
No, I think Bill Belichick is the primary reason why Tom Brady isn't a New England Patriot. I think Giselle has a lot to do with wanting Tom to retire, but I don't think she has to do with where he's playing.
I think she's the reason he's not in New England anymore. I don't know if that's why, you know, going to Tampa or anything else, but I feel like she was done here. And that sort of either it was like, all right, we're either leaving here or I'm leaving. Yeah, it sounded like it, from what we're hearing, it seemed like that was probably part of it.
Well, I'm more with McCarthy on this, that I think she's I don't know. I believe everything I read. I believe everything I read. I make a habit of not, you know, dismissing reports just because I don't like them or whatever. So I just take everything at face value. So I will trust Life and Style. Life and Style is saying she was just pissed that he kept playing football. Not that he kept playing football in New England. So I'm sort of more with McCarthy. She's pushing him to quit. Not, you know, I'm sure she hated it here. Like that,
sure.
You know, that I think we know. But I think she hates football more, right? The whole thing was just she wants him to stop playing. And maybe he thought it would help to get her out of here. But apparently it didn't because things got worse before they got better, says the story. Friends say Giselle was so furious about moving to Florida that she threatened to smash all of Tom's beloved Super Bowl rings. How do you smash one of those? You need a big freaking hammer to smash
ball
some of those.
Ball-peen hammer, yeah.
Big mallet right there.
Quote, once she calmed down, Tom tried reasoning with her and said that moving would give them a chance to start over and that things would be different. Family is everything to Giselle. Quote, she eventually went along with it, adds the source, but she wasn't convinced. Tom had already betrayed her by breaking his promise to quit football.
Betrayal.
So what was stopping him from doing it again? Though they moved into a $14 million rental home owned by Tom's pal Derek Jeter, which is located in an incredible island neighborhood with views of Tampa Bay, and I'm just going to say again, for people of that ilk, the house ain't that great, and looking out at Tampa Bay ain't that hot. It's a little, honestly, for Tom, for me, it's like, you know, for us, it'd be like just an unbelievable score, like beyond our wildest dreams. For Tom, it's a little below his grade, I got to tell you. That house, that city, that location, a little below his status.
I'll take Brookline over Tampa any day of the week.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
Chestnut Hill on whatever. Do you have 5 acres there in the middle of Chestnut Hill?
Not too shabby.
On a country club? Oh, that's way, way better, in my opinion. Anyway. I mean, like I know. Anyway, adds a source. Quote, the whole moving process was disruptive and stressful. You can say that again.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they face the same stress as we do when we move?
I mean, I think they probably called your guys over at DN Van Lines. They took
right.
care of them, and it's still stressful. Moving's always stressful, but I bet they called your guys, Felger, and everything was okay. I bet it wasn't too different from anybody else's experience.
Good job, McCarthy. I bet do you think they packed a single box?
No. Of course
okay.
not.
So anyway.
Just the rings and the hammer that she was going to smash them with.
The moving process was disruptive and stressful. They argued nonstop. There were lots of tears as Giselle struggled to adapt to a new environment. She and Tom had gone from the 5-acre mansion in Massachusetts they'd called home for the last 11 years of their marriage to hot and humid Florida. Quote, Giselle would vanish for hours to escape from the fighting, and Tom didn't know where she was, says the source. Yes, they rented an amazing house, but the bottom line is that money doesn't buy happiness. Huge changes, says the headline here. Tom loves Giselle deeply. Seeing her so miserable made him realize that they can't, that they can run, but they can't hide from their problems. It was a now or never situation. If big changes weren't made, their marriage would be over for good, says the source, adding that Tom sat down with Giselle this summer and said he'd do whatever it takes to make things work. Ultimately, despite their problems, neither wanted to give up. So, boy, again, if we're to believe, she's busting his balls like you read about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this I actually feel sorry for him about a little bit. I mostly think he's been default for the breakup, but I've sided with Bill and the team over him, and you know how I feel about all this. But in this regard, I'm with him. It's like, Giselle, you're 43, he's 40. You've got, you know, the way you guys take care of yourselves, you're probably not even halfway home, right? You're going to be the youngest looking 70 and 80 year olds in the history of the planet. Like, you're like superhumans. So you're going to live well into your 80s. You've got a long way to go. This is his life's dream, his life's passion. It's what he's committed his life to. It's important to him. And he just wants to do it a couple more years. Would you get off his back? You know what I mean? Like, I feel for Tom on that one. The thing's important to him. And it's one or two more years. It's not like he's playing 10. And it's not like you have to live in that godforsaken hellhole of Tampa Bay for, you know, for the rest of your life. It's for one or two years, and then he's out. And that's just the deal. I mean, I don't know. Not to get in the middle of their marriage, but if she wanted to go back to full-time modeling, you think Tom would stand in the way and, like, pitch a fit?
No way.
The fact that she wanted to walk the runway for a couple of years?
No way. No how.
Probably not. That being said,
he'd say, go live your dream.
If he promised her he was going to stop playing football, and then not only didn't stop playing football, but packed everybody up, moved them down to Tampa Bay into Derek Jeter's house, and then, with the pandemic and everything going on, an opportunity to opt out for the year, which he shouldn't do, by the way, because he's only got probably a year or so left, but he's out there working out in the parks, he's walking into people's houses, he's saying no fear, no this, no that, he's defying the union and going out there and having these group practices. Like, if he promised that he wasn't going to play football anymore and told her that, he's really broken that promise about as badly as you can break it, right?
Okay. You know what? I said I'm sorry. I don't mean to get in the middle of their marriage. Hell, let's do it. What's the difference?
Why not?
Why not? Well, what? It's a gender-free Friday.
Right.
He's had to prove himself, says the source, and mean it. There was a lot of making up to do, explains the source. While they've been quarantining amid the coronavirus pandemic, Tom's been pulling out all the stops, and their marriage is back on track again. That divorce is on hold, the source confirms. He's seeing a therapist and confessed everything, including how moving to Florida didn't solve their problems and perhaps was a mistake. Oh,
ooh, hey now. How about that?
How about that?
I like that.
But he's contracted to the Bucks for 2 years and $50 million, so he wouldn't be allowed to quit even if he wanted to, says the source. The pair are also, says a source, doing couples counseling again, albeit now via Zoom, and it's really helping. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the horror, that pain right there?
Oh, my God.
Zooming with your wife and the marriage counselor?
Oh, God.
Like the, oh, my God.
That sounds terrible.
Can you just picture the hell that is? Like, are they on it together? Are they, like, crowded into the same shot? Like,
no, I would definitely go, yes, like, separate rooms.
No, three squares. Yeah. Like the Brady Bunch.
I love the gossip mags. So I picked this up at the grocery store, and then I flew today. So yeah, I'm going to be stuck in this basement for the next 2 weeks quarantining. So, but there's nothing better than this on the plane. And I'm not a big pop culture guy. You know me. Like, I don't watch that. I barely know who the people are, but I love thumbing my way through. This is the best way. These stupid magazines are the best way to pass airplane trip, in my opinion. So I'll tell you what I came up with in this magazine later on in the program. But there's the latest on Brady. He didn't want to be here, right? That's what it ties into Tuukka Rask. He didn't want to be here, and he was a little different at the end. Wasn't quite the same guy. And maybe that's how you tie that in. But it's an agenda-free Friday. We'll get back to your phones again on everything, I promise, right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Every sport has its network, if you're willing to pay for it. Boston has the sports hub that brings you the Pats, the Bruins, the Celts, and the Reds. From preseason to the final second for free, Boston's home for sports is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom has openly said you were his hero growing up. And obviously with Tom changing teams, there's been a lot of comparisons to when you changed teams at the end of your career. So what was your reaction when Tom left New England? And obviously, you know, what do you expect from a guy like Tom Brady now finishing his career with a different team?
Honestly, I was shocked that they let him get out of New England. I thought they would have done everything that they could try to keep him there. But I think probably in the end, in just a little bit of time, I spoke to Tom while we were back at the Super Bowl, was that, you know, I don't think he was happy with the way things were progressing there and his ability to have input. And I think that was a big decision for him to make to leave there. Obviously, he's leaving a place he's had a ton of success at, and where he's going to another team. He chose a pretty good one, I think. When you look at it, they got a pretty good defense. They got a lot of offensive weapons, and then you throw him and Gronk into the mix. Would be an interesting season if it goes on.
All right, it's hour number two, Agenda Free Friday. Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose the new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Christian Arcan and Matt McCarthy back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm in the remote A-hole location, and I've moved inside. Well, I'm not going to be rude like that. If no internet connection, they can't get me up on the simulcast. I'm not just going to sit outside and be an a-hole. I'm back in the basement. If it kills me, I'm going to figure out how to sit outside and get an internet connection out there. I just am so freaking anemic on the technology. It's so frustrating. Oh, my God. But I'm not going to go there right now. It's Friday. I was in the grocery.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was important to her, what was important to me is our family and our relationship. And at different times, like any married couple, you know, things need to be changed. And, you know, there was, you know, a couple years ago we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end it, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to like check myself. Because she's like, I have goals and dreams too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage.
Even though I believe life and style implicitly, I still think that's a steaming pile of bullcrap. Brady using it as an excuse why he didn't go to OTAs. That is just complete garbage. OTAs takes 2 or 3 hours. He was in Brookline. All he had to do was drive down to Foxborough, which he was doing anyway to work at TB12. He'd be working out at TB12 in the parking lot at Gillette while his teammates would be working out inside. So he was still putting in time. He just wasn't doing it with his teammates. So that was a steaming pile of bullcrap. But anyway, I'm curious if that was the deal. I wonder how she must feel right now about him being balls to the wall in Tampa. Seems like he's working as hard as he's ever worked. Feels like he's going back to those old habits, I guess. I don't know. But that's just one of the things we're hitting here on an agenda-free Friday. We start with the Bruins, and that's obviously a big focus. But you can weigh in on whatever you want with your wonderful phone calls. Again, it's Matt McCarthy and Christian Arcan back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How about let's grab Jules in New Hampshire. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Jules.
What's up, Mike? I've been trying to call for a couple of weeks now because you guys have been trashing Brady on the way out the door, and he's been way too much for us for you to be doing this. For the last 2 years, you've been saying, oh, no OTAs, no OTAs. Now, finally, you know, you said he hasn't done much. First, he won the Super Bowl, and then the second year, he had no Andrews, no Devlin, no left tackle, and no Gronk. And you're like, oh, he should have went to the passing camps. Like, that would have made a difference.
It would have.
He's going through a divorce, and still you were on him and on him. You wouldn't believe the reports or nothing.
Well, no, he still is. It's still a disaster down in Tampa. Well, she just recently forgave him, but if you read this, she's still pissed they went to Tampa. And that didn't stop him from going out there, you know, against the wishes of his union and everybody else, Jules. He's once again the hardest working guy in football. So great. I love Brady when he's the hardest working guy in football. That's when he's the balls. It's when he's the best. This thing here, the last couple of years here, not so much. But that's okay. And they did win a Super Bowl, but the offense and his play started to go down that very year. Derek in the truck on Tuukka Rask. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, hey, guys. First time, long time. I agree with you guys 100%, or you, Felger. As
not that he said it, it's that he feels that way. And the fact that he can't get up for a playoff game when his last playoff series saw him lose the Stanley Cup on home ice and allow the first two of the first four shots to go in is all you need to say. And that's why he will probably never, ever win a Stanley Cup, ever.
Maybe. And I'm I think some guys have that attitude, and it may help them. They don't put too much pressure on themselves, and it's not the most important thing to them. And they're not consumed by winning a championship or being considered a certain thing. And maybe that helps them. And maybe that helps Rask to a level. I mean, I don't know. He's a good goalie, and he's a very successful career. He might be the most successful goalie in Bruins history, and so maybe his attitude actually does help him. I just think in this circumstance, as we're looking at it, does he want to be there in Toronto? Does he want to keep playing through the pandemic? And I just think every indication is that he doesn't. And I don't know how that helps him. I don't know how you don't want to be someplace and excel. And he ain't excelling. You know, that's for sure. It's not his fault. He's not killing him, but he's not excelling either. I mean, even just the way Christian and Matt, the way he handled it, the game winner by Hamilton, which was a freaking howitzer, you know, it was
great shot.
It, yep. Where Rask was positioned, there was no way he was going to save it. But this is something, let me just say as an aside.
Wait a minute, there's no way he was going to save. He was looking right at him, and he had that whole part of the net covered except for the top corner.
Well, but what I'm saying is, what people don't understand is that the way he was positioned, maybe there's no way he could have saved that. If he's more aggressive and comes off his line and goes and breaks down the angle and attacks the shooter, then maybe Hamilton's got less to shoot at, and he squeezes the stick a little tighter and he can't hit the spot. And, you know, just because Hamilton hit a spot doesn't mean Rask is blameless.
Right. I mean, that's Rask's style, too. I mean, he's not Tim Thomas. He's not going to come out of the net. He's going to stay in the net, stay in position. He's not going to come out and attack the shooter. It's not what he does.
Right. Well, so for better or worse, right? So I think that leads to he's probably more consistent than a guy like Thomas. But then again, I think that if you can pick your spot on him, he's not going to make that save. But even just the way he handled that save, it was sort of like he just kind of waved at it while ducking. It's like, oh, like, well, hey, got me there. I mean, I don't know. It was just sort of his body language on that was he's just there. That's how he's playing. He's just there. He's going to put himself in position. If the puck hits him, it hits him. But he's not making a save that, you know, has he made a single save where you go, whoa, he saved one there? Like, he's made all the saves
against Washington. Yeah, I thought he made a couple of good saves against Washington. He had a couple power plays there. I know they lost that game, but I thought he played well. And there was a couple power plays where I thought he really saved them. But it wasn't enough. I mean, they didn't win the game. So.
Okay, going back to Washington, maybe. I'm talking in the two Carolina games. I think he's made most of the saves he should have. And none of the ones he shouldn't have. I mean, you know what I mean? Which is like, and his save percentage reflects it. He's .899 or right around .900, 25 out of 32 goalies that have played. He's just sort of been there. And I think that reflects in his comments last night. He's just not that into it. Gabe and Swampscott on the Celtics here on Agenda for Friday. Go ahead, Gabe.
Hey, what's going on, Felger? Thanks for the call here. Look, I'm a Green Tamer, and I'll be the first to admit it, but I really don't understand why the national media is putting the Raptors in the Heat before the Celtics. This team not only has great chemistry, but I think people are also forgetting that this is still a young and talented, hungry team that wants to prove that they belong on the biggest stage. I don't know about you guys, but this is the most confident I've been in a Celtics team since probably 2010 and fully expect them to make a finals run, a very serious title push this playoffs.
Okay, babe, go green. Whee! Something tells me, Gabe, you are this confident every year. I just call me crazy. Who's putting Toronto and Miami ahead of the Celtics? Like,
nobody.
I wouldn't.
I'll put Toronto ahead of them. They've been ahead of them all year. They've been ahead of them all year, and they lost their best player in the offseason, and they've been better than you. They're the reason why you're the third best team and the second best team in your own division. Toronto's been better than the Celtics this year. How can you not say that?
Because I just don't think they should have been. I think the Celtics in the regular season have underachieved.
That's okay.
I would agree.
They're underachievers. I mean, with this great starting lineup, they should be able to go out there, right? I mean, if they're as good as the Green Teamers all say they are, I know they don't have a bench, but if they have such a great starting lineup and they're going out and playing the same teams Toronto's playing, how come Toronto's able to maintain? Is it better coaching? Like, I don't know what it is. No one's really been able to explain that to me.
And no Celtic fan could ever wrap their head around this, but they've underachieved. They should be better. And I think that, so, I mean, I'm going to handicap the series as in both teams hitting their ceiling. If both teams hit their ceiling, the Celtics have more good players and the best player in the series. So it's rare for a team to have more good players and the best player and still lose the series. But, I mean, it's the point, Christian, and Green Teamers, you have to come to grips with this. Either you're not as good as you say you are, or you underachieved. Because there is, you should be the second team in the East. You should be the second team in the East, and the fact that Toronto had a better season to you up until the pandemic tells you you underachieved. I don't know. That all seems point A to point B logic. Imagine that. Here comes McCarthy's update, back with more of your calls on everything here on an Agenda Free Friday.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
From a physical standpoint, mental standpoint, how are you feeling here after back-to-backs?
Well, I mean, considering I had 4 months off, so, I mean, not in prime shape, but you know, trying to get there, just trying. I'm just trying to have fun and you know, play the game. I'm not stressing too much about the results and whatnot. You know, it's August and haven't played hockey forever, so let's go out there, have fun, and see what happens.
You really can't hear that enough. Really not stressing about the results. He said that after a playoff game. I'm really not stressing about the results. August hockey. And then he went on to say, it feels like exhibitions. He sort of has that feel of exhibitions. August hockey. I'm not stressing about the results. That, I'm sorry, folks, is an all-timer. It's an all-timer. To say that after a playoff game, I'm not stressing about the results. And let me just iterate one more time. It's not that he said it. I don't have a problem with him saying it. I'm not benching him because he said it. I'm not even sure I'm benching him.
I am.
That a boy. The problem is he feels that way. He feels that way. That's the problem. That's the problem. Can someone who doesn't want to be there perform at a high level? I don't know. I think it makes it really hard. And I think Rask doesn't want to be there. And I think that subsequently, that leads me to ask the question, does he really love the game? Does he really, really love the game? Because I think if you really love the game, you still want to be there and you're still committed despite all the circumstances, which are obviously a factor here. Being away from your family, being in the bubble and all that stuff and the quarantine and all of that. Like, I get it. And there's no fans in the stands, and so it's different and it's not the same and it's a sacrifice. And so, of course, like, there's some people are going to look at that differently. But if the game is your driving passion, then you don't care if there's one person in the stands or 20,000 people in the stands. You don't care. You don't care if it's a Toronto or Boston or Timbuktu. And if when you have a chance to win a Stanley Cup, when you have a chance to win a Stanley Cup, you sacrifice it all and you don't care who's in the stands or how it feels. And I asked it before. You know, if Cam Neely was in this position with a team that was a favorite to win a Stanley Cup and he had a quarantine for a couple of weeks, months away from his family in a foreign building, you don't think he'd give his left testicle and put everything on the line to go try and win a Stanley Cup, which he's never won? Same with Rask. You don't think he would have – do you think Cam Neely – and I just pick him because it's one we all know the obvious answer, right? But I think a lot of hockey players are wired that way. You're not stressing the results? Oh, that is – I mean, think of that. Think of that comment after a playoff game. So I don't think you can hear that enough, and I think that's going to be an all-timer. And if Tuukka goes on to win it all, which I'm not even ruling out, then we look back and we say, boy, what a kook. You know, he doesn't really care. He's not really stressing the results, and he wins a championship. Now you become legendary, which I'll take. And then you say that approach works for you. I don't know how you could say that approach works for him at a playoff level, given his career. That's what I'll say.
And I don't know how you can say it's working for him now. I mean, it's not really working for him all that well right now. You're not seeing peak playoff Tuukka Rask, which I was expecting to see. I know they've been off for a long time, but listen, there's other goaltenders out there playing well, and he's really not one of them. And I'll even say this, Mike. I think that quote we just played, bad quote, sure. But he's said stuff like that before. That didn't really rattle my cage all that much. I didn't like it, obviously. You don't say that after a playoff game. But what he said about it's like an exhibition game and the intensity's not there and all that stuff, that was different. You don't hear him say that ever because that's never happened before. I mean, this is a new situation that he's in. But to hear him sort of lean on that and say, well, you know, it's tough to get up because there's no fans, which isn't true, by the way. David Pasternak was in the crowd. He did have one fan. But other than that, I mean, you know, I heard him say that and I thought, oh, man. This isn't working for him. He can't figure that. He can't do it. I don't know. It's not his thing. And he's telling you. I mean, he's telling everybody to their face. I viewed that as more of a cry for help than the not caring about the results stuff. I think that was lousy to hear. Obviously, you wouldn't want anyone to say that. But he said stuff like that before. The other stuff about the exhibition game and the intensity, that was worse for me.
Jimmy, roll number two. Go ahead. Let's hear that.
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, you know, there's some scrums after whistles, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. You know, things happen. People fall on you and whatnot, but, you know, it's definitely not a playoff atmosphere out there.
So, I mean, he's telling it like it is. You know, from his perspective, if you're talking about the fan interaction, obviously – but the stuff on the ice, I don't know. Someone tell me I'm wrong. Like, I've seen plenty of glimpses of real playoff hockey. I'm not telling you it's exactly the same, but to me, I think that has to do with the layoff. And like an 11 a.m. start and just sort of a different schedule and having not played for 4 months. But I'm seeing players get chippy. I'm seeing little battles and little rivalries develop across the rink, whether it's McAvoy elbowing someone in the face, or again, why do I keep forgetting the big defenseman's name in Carolina who scored the goal in game one and Flurry. Okay, yeah. Flurry throwing his weight around, the Bruins responding or not responding. Like, I'm feeling those things starting to bubble. And I see the scrums starting to happen, and I see the matchup starting to develop, where what Bruins D pair is up against what line in Carolina. I see Brindamore moving his lines. I see Vinny Trocheck picking up his game. I see Charlie McAvoy picking up his game and elbowing people in the face. It feels like a playoff series to me. And I think on the ice for these players, it feels, you know, that is playoff-ish. It's getting close. We're getting there. And I think in another week or two, it's going to be full-on playoff hockey.
But the problem is, Mike, is it should be there right now from the Bruins.
Oh, come on.
No, it absolutely should. All right? They started slow. They started slow in the round robin. That's fine. But if you're going to deliberately treat the round robin like exhibitions, then you better be prepared to ramp it up for the playoffs. And to me, Mike, they've been late. Have you seen flashes of it? Yes. Have you seen enough of it? Absolutely not. I think they're getting outworked by Carolina, and you see that in certain spots. They're getting outworked and outhit. They don't have it there yet. I'm not saying they're not going to get there. I think they will. I'm still taking the Bruins in six, but I don't think it's been there yet. And I think Rask's mentality last night, that's more indicative of the way the team has approached it. That's my concern with it.
Okay. I mean, they've started slow. I mean, I'll grant you that. I care how they finish versus how they start. And if they don't finish this series off and they get bounced early, I'm going to turn around and say that you screwed around too much. You came out way too soft, way too slow, and you could never get it back, and that's your fault. And I'll hammer them for it, McCarthy. Hammer them. But we're not there. Okay, we're not there.
Well, I'm going to hammer them for it now. I'm going to take a stand on this. You can facilitate until then, Mike, and then you can maybe get a take. I'm going to give you a take now on it.
Well, no, I'm telling you, the take is I don't mind the slow start. I'll mind if they never get it going, then I'll blame the slow start. But they don't have to be, you know, come out balls to the wall and shoot all their bullets in the first couple of weeks. Yeah, that's not what it's about either. But you do have to care. You do have to want to be there. And I don't know if the goalie does. I don't know if the goalie does. And that's a hard spot to succeed in. So what does that mean for game three? Arcan says bench him. McCarthy says absolutely not. What does Bruce Cassidy say? What's Tuukka Rask's status for game three? We'll have some answers from Toronto on that right after these words. Stick around.
Boston's home for sports. Felger has 95 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I didn't speak to him after his comments. You know, I think the Boston media knows him well enough. He answers his questions how he feels. It is a unique environment, but to me, there's playoff intensity on the ice. You just got to sort of control what you can control when you're a player, in my situation, a coach. The way I look at it, Steve, at the end of the day, they're going to hand out the Stanley Cup this year to someone. So, you know, we've got to play our best hockey if we want to be that team. That was our goal at the start of the year. We didn't anticipate it end up in an environment like this, but here it is, right? So you play the hand you're dealt. You know, you prepare yourself. In my case, I prepare the team to you know, in this case for game three, to play our best hockey game. And that's what my focus is on right now. You know, plain and simple. And that's, you know, what we're going to do tonight. And puck drop tomorrow at noon. You know, put our best foot forward.
So that was Cassidy on the Tuukka Rask comments. He was subsequently asked about Tuukka Rask playing. And McCarthy, you're in the update studio. Why don't you give us what Bruce Cassidy said there?
Yeah, Bruce Cassidy said he anticipates that Tuukka Rask will get the start in net tomorrow in game three. Anticipates.
Interesting word. Meaning what? That Tuukka may bag, or they may talk to him, or goalie Bob, and they may come to the decision that he shouldn't go, or what?
I don't know.
So the whole anticipate thing is a weird answer. When we get that sound, let's hear that too. You know, if we can, a little voice inflection. I'd like to just know and read into it. But Cassie hit on it. They're handing out the Stanley Cup. They're handing out the Stanley Cup, the greatest trophy in sports. And they're doing it with the greatest, you know, playoff format in history, which is still on. And do you want one or not? Do you want it or not? Do you care about it or not? And I don't know if Tuukka Rask totally cares about it. I don't know if he does. I asked this earlier. Do you think Tuukka Rask cares if he ever wins a Stanley Cup? Which is different than asking, does he want to win a Stanley Cup? Of course he would want to. Of course he would like to. That's not the question. The question is, does he care? Do you think he cares to win a Stanley Cup?
Mike, to me, Tuukka strikes me as the type of guy who would say, well, my name's already on the cup, right? Because it is. 2011, he was on that team. His name's on that cup. So to me, he'd say, yeah, it'd be nice, sure, but it's already on there, and I can live with that. That's how he strikes me.
Right? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Which, maybe that serves him. You know, maybe that serves him in terms of it keeps pressure off him and he can be even keeled, and that's why he's so consistent. I get it. But maybe that also works against him in this moment where it takes a sort of like a rise above sort of thing, and he's never really risen above in the moment. I don't know. Again, I'll just say I don't mind him saying it. I'm okay with him saying it. The problem is that he feels that way. It's the feeling of it that should be a concern to everyone. All right, let's go back to your calls here on an agenda-free Friday.
Hold on, Mike. We lost you visually again, I see.
I know. I don't know. So I'm in the effing basement, 20 feet from the effing router.
Without being able to see you, I got to say, it's more like an exhibition show right now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
not really the playoff intensity we have if I can't see you. It's more like exhibition Felger and Maz right now.
And they call, and I can't, you know, like, I can't. It's on the phone, so I don't even want to start. It's just so annoying. Can I call you versus you calling me? NBC Sports, who's ever there. It's not Vinny, right? It's someone else. Just stop calling me. I'll call you. God. Here, I'm going to hit the button. You've got to be sitting there. Take the call.
Mike, can I suggest rebooting your system?
That's it. That's what every IT guy who's gone to Harvard will tell you. When you call for, you know, how to troubleshoot a problem, he said, have you tried restarting your computer? Yes, I've tried restarting my computer. Man, that's a genius idea.
Can you reinstall the app?
Back to your phones, as promised. Antoine, who do you blame for Tom Brady leaving New England?
Take the call.
Hello?
Why can I suggest rebooting your system?
Adrian, Whoa. Who do you blame? Okay, I'm going to hang up.
What even was that?
Oh my God.
Was that us?
It sounded like somebody who's passing the phone off to somebody who should be calling Adam Jones at night at 7 o'clock.
Matt and Grafton, go.
Yeah, I double down on your take, Mike, because Tuukka has drifted and gotten listless at the end of every season for the past 5 years, and they've tried to address it physically, but I think it's mental. I think he's homesick, and he gets to this point in the season and just doesn't care anymore.
So, I mean, I'll give you three-quarters of that, three-quarters, in that does he wear down? Does he sort of drift and get listless? I mean, his final last year against St. Louis was fine, but it wasn't like, you know, I think he got outplayed by a worse goalie.
and it was part of the issue, not the issue, but part of the issue. I think he definitely listed in 2013. And so, I mean, maybe there's something to it. Maybe he just runs out of juice because it's just not his – he's just – he doesn't care to be defined by it. He doesn't care to be defined by whether he won a championship or not. He doesn't care, which is different than saying he, you know, he doesn't want it or he wouldn't like it. He would like it. He would take it. He'll try, but will he care if he doesn't get there? Will he, is he one of these guys that's going to kick himself for not winning a cup? And I don't think he's that guy. Mike in Lunenburg. Go ahead, Mike.
Michael, I told you I'd call you back when he hurt you. So I have the right to vent, Michael. Listen, two things real quick. I hear those comments, I'm Chara in the twilight. I'm hog-tying him in a walk-in closet before the game tomorrow. Number two, I'll tell you what. The body language on that guy. You ever notice how he does the Tuca crouch after he gives up a bad goal in the look? I don't care. It's like, it's not my fault. Yeah, it's not my fault. Look, watch for the body language tomorrow when he hurts you, and then watch for the Tuca crouch down the other end of the ice when the Bruins go down. You watch and see the body language. I would hog tie him in a walk-in closet before the game. I'll talk to you later.
Here, you know, here's the thing. I think his teammates love him. I think his teammates have his back. I think his teammates support him and want him in there. Like, I don't think that's part of the equation. Do you, Arcand?
No, I don't think so. I think you could hear it in Brad Marchand's comments. I mean, he was trying his best to smooth that all over and say, oh, no, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean that. He's talking about the round-robin games. We love Tuca. Tuca's the best. And I do think they love Tuca. I don't think there's any problem there. I don't think there's any animosity with him and any other player. I just think that right now, the entire team needs some sort of spark here, and Tuca's not providing it. I mean, I maybe that's not his job. Maybe I'm asking too much, but he's not really doing all that much either, and he basically told you that this whole format's not really working for him.
Well, I do they need a spark? I mean, I think they're slow starting McCarthy, and I think they have some problems, mm-hmm. but I don't think they've wholly sucked these last two games.
No, I don't think so either.
Carolina is better than people give them credit for, and the Bruins aren't that great. I mean, if the Bruins aren't playing balls to the wall, it's not like, but what I mean by they're not that great, their roster's not that great, right? So if they're a little sluggish starting and Carolina is playing at a higher level, they've had more games that have mattered. They've gotten tuned up a little quicker. I think it's going to be a relatively even thing. I don't know if the Bruins need a spark. And so, like, this is all a long way of saying, does going to Halak solve anything or help anything?
No way.
And I'm not sure that it does, because I think the teammates, I think the players like Tuca. They get Tuca. They understand Tuca. They don't hold those comments against him. They just sort of understand that's what he is. I think they go to bat for the guy. And so I don't think there's anything like that. You know, it's weird. Tim Thomas, after the cup year, did have some problems in the room, right? There was, the whole White House thing was a part of it. Like, mm-hmm. It got weird there, I think, between him and some of his teammates. And we all remember the All-Star game where Zdeno Chara had the first pick in the All-Star draft, and he passed on him. He passed on Tim Thomas for, I think, Pavel Datsyuk. Remember that? So, I think that existed. So, that whole thing, that's not on my list. That's not on my list. The only reason I would do it is if I were Bruce Cassidy or Neely or Sweeney, and I was looking at this, and I was watching Tuukka Rask, I was watching how he plays and how he's carried himself. I would say he's really not that into it. So what's the most we're going to get out of him? Does he need to sit? Does he need a mental health day, which they give players all the time? Does he need a blow just to gather himself and figure out what's important to him? Does he, you know, like something like that? That I would consider. Oh, and then if Halak, like, stopped 39 of 40 shots and they won 4-1 or something, then we'd have some fun. Then we'd have some fun. That's another good reason to do it. Okay, so we'll hit on that. We're hitting on everything. It is an agenda-free Friday, so everything is on the board. Chris Gasper standing by. He has some thoughts on this. He and McCarthy have some strong feelings about another team in town that we're going to get to, and we'll do it all in 90 seconds right after McCarthy.